Chapter 2, in which Sophie is compelled to seek her fortune.
What?
Sophie stared at the girl on the stool opposite her. She looked just like Letty. She was wearing Letty's second-best blue dress, a wonderful blue that suited her perfectly. She had Letty's dark hair and blue eyes.
I am Martha, said her sister. Who did you catch cutting up Letty's silk drawers?
I never told Letty that. Did you?
No,
said Sophie, quite stunned. She could see it was Martha now. There was Martha's tilt to Letty's head, and Martha's way of clasping her hands round her knees, with her thumbs twiddling.
Why?
I've been dreading you coming to see me, Martha said, because I knew I'd have to tell you. It's a relief now I have. Promise you won't tell anyone. I know you won't tell if you promise. You're so honourable.
I promise, Sophie said. But why? How?
Letty and I arranged it, Martha said, twiddling her thumbs. Because Letty wanted to learn witchcraft, and I didn't. Letty's got brains, and she wants a future where she can use them. Only try telling that to Mother. Mother's too jealous of Letty, even to admit she has brains.
Sophie could not believe Fanny was like that, but she let it pass.
But what about you?
Eat your cake, said Martha. It's good. Oh, yes, I can be clever too. It only took me 2 weeks at Mrs. Fairfax's to find the spell we're using. I got up at night and read her books secretly, and it was easy, really. Then I asked if I could visit my family, and Mrs. Fairfax said yes. She's a dear. She thought I was homesick. So I took the spell and came here, and Letty went back to Mrs. Fairfax pretending to be me. The difficult part was the first week, when I didn't know all the things I was supposed to know. It was awful. But I discovered that people like me. They do, you know, if you like them. And then it was all right. And Mrs. Fairfax hasn't kicked Letty out, so I suppose she managed too. Sophie chomped at cake she was not really tasting.
But what made you want to do this?
Martha rocked on her stool, grinning all over Letty's face, twirling her thumbs in a happy pink whirl.
I want to get married and have 10 children.
You're not old enough, said Sophie.
Not quite, Martha agreed. But you can see I've got to start quite soon in order to fit 10 children in. And this way gives me time to wait and see if the person I want likes me for being me. The spell's going to wear off gradually, and I shall get more and more like myself, you see.
Sophie was so astonished that she finished her cake without noticing what kind it had been.
Why 10 children?
Because that's how many I want, said Martha.
I never knew.
Well, it wasn't much good going on about it when you were so busy backing Mother up about me making my fortune, Martha said. You thought Mother meant it. I did too until Father died, and I saw she was just trying to get rid of us, putting Letty where she was bound to meet a lot of men and get married off, and sending me as far away as she could. I was so angry I thought, why not? And I spoke to Letty, and she was just as angry, and we fixed it up. We're fine now, but we both feel bad about you. You're far too clever and nice to be stuck in that shop for the rest of your life. We talked about it, but we couldn't see what to do.
I'm all right, Sophie protested.
Just a bit dull.
All right, Martha exclaimed.
Yes, you prove you're all right by not coming near here for months, and then turning up in a frightful grey dress and shawl, looking as if even I scare you. What's Mother been doing to you?
Nothing, Sophie said uncomfortably. We've been rather busy.
You shouldn't talk about Fanny that way, Martha. She is your mother.
Yes, and I'm enough like her to understand her,
Martha retorted. That's why she sent me so far away, or tried to. Mother knows you don't have to be unkind to someone in order to exploit them. She knows how dutiful you are. She knows you have this thing about being a failure because you're only the eldest. She's managed you perfectly and got you slaving away for her. I bet she doesn't pay you.
I'm still an apprentice, Sophie protested.
So am I, but I get a wage. The Cesaris know I'm worth it, said Martha. That hat shop is making a mint these days, and all because of you. You made that green hat that makes the mayor's wife look like a stunning schoolgirl, didn't you?
Caterpillar green.
I trimmed it, said Sophie. And the bonnet Jane Farrier was wearing when she met that nobleman, Martha swept on. You're a genius with hats and clothes, and Mother knows it. You sealed your fate when you made Letty that outfit last May Day. Now you earn the money while she goes off gadding.
She's out doing the buying, Sophie said.
Buying? Martha cried. Her thumb swirled. That takes her half a morning. I've seen her, Sophie, and heard the talk. She's off in a hired carriage and new clothes on your earnings, visiting all the mansions down the valley. They're saying she's going to buy that big place down at Vale End and set up in style. And where are you?
Well, Fanny's entitled to some pleasure after all her hard work bringing us up, Sophie said. I suppose I'll inherit the shop.
What a fate! Martha exclaimed. Listen! But at that moment, two empty cake racks were pulled away at the other end of the room, and an apprentice stuck his head through from the back somewhere. Thought I heard your voice, Letty, he said, grinning in the most friendly and flirtatious way. The new baking's just up. Tell them. His head, curly and somewhat flowery, disappeared again. Sophie thought he looked a nice lad. She longed to ask if he was the one Martha really liked, but she didn't get a chance. Martha sprang up in a hurry, still talking. I must get the girls to carry all these through to the shop, she said. Help me with the end of this one. She dragged out the nearest rack, and Sophie helped her hump it past the door into the roaring, busy shop.
You must do something about yourself, Sophie, Martha panted as they went. Letty kept saying she didn't know what would happen to you when we weren't around to give you some self-respect. She was right to be worried.
In the shop, Mrs. Cesari seized the rack from them in both massive arms, yelling instructions, and a line of people rushed away past Martha to fetch more. Sophie yelled goodbye and slipped away in the bustle. It did not seem right to take up more of Martha's time. Besides, she wanted to be alone to think. She ran home. There were fireworks now going up from the field by the river where the fair was, competing with the blue bangs from Howell's Castle. Sophie felt more like an invalid than ever. She thought and thought, most of the following week, and all that happened was that she became confused and discontented. Things just did not seem to be the way she thought they were. She was amazed at Letty and Martha. She had misunderstood them for years. But she could not believe Fanny was the kind of woman Martha said. There was a lot of time for thinking, because Bessie duly left to be married, and Sophie was mostly alone in the shop. Fanny did seem to be out a lot, gadding or not, and trade was slack after May Day. After 3 days, Sophie plucked up courage to ask Fanny, "Shouldn't I be earning a wage?" "Of course, my love, with all you do," Fanny answered warmly, fixing on a rose-trimmed hat in front of the shop mirror. "We'll see about it as soon as I've done the accounts this evening." Then she went out, and did not come back until Sophie had shut the shop and taken that day's hats through to the house to trim. Sophie at first felt mean to have listened to Martha, but when Fanny did not mention a wage either that evening or any time later that week, Sophie began to think that Martha had been right. "Maybe I am being exploited," she told a hat she was trimming with red silk and a bunch of wax cherries. "But someone has to do this, or there will be no hats at all to sell." She finished that hat and started on a stark black and white one, very modish, and a quite new thought came to her. "Does it matter if there are no hats to sell?" she asked it. She looked round the assembled hats on stands, or waiting in a heap to be trimmed. "What good are you all?" she asked them. "You certainly aren't doing me a scrap of good." And she was within an ace of leaving the house and setting out to seek her fortune, until she remembered she was the eldest and there was no point. She took up the hat again, sighing. She was still discontented, alone in the shop next morning, when a very plain young woman customer stormed in, whirling a pleated mushroom bonnet by its ribbons. "Look at this!" the young lady shrieked. "You told me this was the same as the bonnet Jane Farrier was wearing when she met the Count, and you lied. Nothing has happened to me at all." "I'm not surprised," Sophie said, before she had caught up with herself. "If you're fool enough to wear that bonnet with a face like that, you wouldn't have the wit to spot the King himself, if he came begging. If he hadn't turned to stone first, just at the sight of you."